attitude described by 2 Peter chapter 3, 4th verse, many years later. Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they were wrong. Since the beginning of creation, things have never simply gone on. A plan of inconceivable perfection has been under careful execution, always. Even in the silent years of Israel's history, God was never inactive. We have no idea how busy God's hands are, even when His mouth seems closed. Where God is concerned, silence never equals slumber. For those of us looking for an overall grasp of what the God of the universe is doing with planet Earth, few titles of Christ are more significant than those issued from His own mouth in Revelation chapter 22, verse 13. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. I cannot describe how impressed I am with the manifold perfections and consistencies of Scripture. The book that unfolds with the words, "In the beginning," draws to a conclusion with the one who declares himself both that very beginning and the end. Life on this planet had a precisely executed beginning, and it will have a certain end. He who planned them both to perfection did not leave everything in between to go on as it would, or as it always had. God in heaven has a will for this earth. Before He ever uttered, "Let there be light," every day of His kingdom calendar from beginning to end was filled with events. Man can refuse to cooperate, but he cannot keep God from executing the critical events on His schedule. And thankfully, no amount of tradition can stop God when He has a mind to change things. Just about the time the establishment got things the way they wanted and swore they had always been, someone had the gall to stick his head out from under the security blanket. Sooner or later, he'd lose his head for doing it, but in the meantime, he'd shake a few things up. Don't miss the implication of a very deliberate God keeping a precise schedule on a kingdom calendar. Luke chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 says, "In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, something very critical happened. The word of God came to a man named John." Somehow, John got labeled the Baptist, but the preacher would fit better. He came declaring, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father,' for I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." Luke chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. The law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since that time, the good news of the kingdom of God is being preached. Luke chapter 16, verse 16. Jesus referred to the life of John as a pivot point of change on the kingdom calendar. After 400 years of silence, suddenly the word of God came. After such a long wait to see God reveal himself afresh to mortal creatures, I wonder if all of heaven hushed to hear it. Of course, those on earth didn't have to hush. The baptizer talked nice and loud. Loud enough, in fact, that according to Matthew's version, Pharisees and Sadducees from Jerusalem went all the way to the fringe of the security blanket on the banks of the Jordan to see what all the commotion was about. Matthew chapter 3, verses 5 and 7. Theirs were among the few heads that stayed dry that day. They held their security blankets over their heads to keep from getting doused in change. Always one to swim against the current, John the Baptist's message traveled the Jordan upstream into the waters of a handful of fishermen in a village called Bethsaida. Drawn like fish to bait, several of them trekked to hear him and hung on every word he said. In fact, John chapter 1, verse 35, refers to them as disciples of John the Baptist. Don't let the term disciple seem heretical to you. The label seems almost sacred to many of us in evangelical Christianity. But keep in mind, the only thing that made the 12 disciples of Christ sacred was the one they followed. Disciples